This is Smart Tech, episode 1716. Equifax is hacked again. Your online identity is at risk. Hello and welcome to this disturbing episode of Smart Tech. I'm your host, Chuck Meinier. You know, technology has good things that come with it, and it has bad things that come with it. There was a time when to have your information stolen, people had to go through your trash can, and people had to break into your house and maybe get into a safe and steal things. And now people just have to go online. They create programs that, you may imagine, somebody walks in your house and everything that you own is in a safe. And so they invent this machine that you can just attach to a safe, and that machine will automatically turn the dial back and forth over and over and over again until it happens to hit on your combination. Now, of course, that's impossible because somebody would probably figure out that there's this big thing, you know, attached to the front of your safe. But if they could do that, theoretically, they could eventually crack your code. Well, that's what people do on the internet. They create a computer program that tries different variations of things and looks for different vulnerabilities in a website. And it checks sometimes, you know, thousands of times a minute, maybe hundreds of thousands of times a minute. It looks for weaknesses in a website. And when it finds it, it moves itself in, it attaches itself. It creates a hole or an access point for that malicious computer to enter. And once that happens, if the security inside isn't great, then they have access to everything. What companies usually do nowadays is they have levels of entry. So once you breach the outer wall of the computer, you still have to get through several other walls of security where data is buried deeper and deeper as it becomes more sensitive. But if you're a good hacker, you get in past that first wall, and then you've got time to sit there and try to get through the second wall. And it's just a matter of time. Now, they do have programs that hopefully identify, hey, we have a data breach in our first level of security, and they go in and they find that data breach and they patch it so they can't be hacked any further. But the problem is that once they're hacked in the first level, these hackers take malicious code, they attach it or weave it into the programming on the computer, and it basically is able to mimic natural code or hide itself and to run things in the background where the regular monitoring software isn't detecting it. So it's very sneaky. And not only do people do this because, you know, they want money and they want to try to grab other people's data, but there are a lot of people out there who just do it for kicks. It's like, you know, how far can I get before I get caught? So there's a lot of need nowadays for cybersecurity experts, and especially at Equifax. If you remember back in September of 2017, Equifax, which is one of the three major credit reporting companies in the United States, reported that they had a breach and that as many, and get this number, as many as 143 million people, 143 million people, half the population of the United States of America, are or have been exposed to possible identity fraud. It is the largest data breach that we know of anyway, ever. So Equifax has lost all credibility as a credit reporting or data company because they can't even keep a hold of their data. And we didn't even talk about that on Smart Tech, although we probably should have, But the reason is, by the time I work a little bit ahead on episodes, and by the time we got up to this point, which I was going to talk about the original Equifax data breach, here comes another one. October 12th, 2017, it is hacked again. At least the website is hacked again, and we'll talk about that in a minute. This is huge. This is huge because there are so many companies and people who rely on companies like Equifax to protect their private data and to give accurate credit scores. And, you know, maybe we don't want to be so beholden to credit scores. Dave Ramsey calls credit scores a getting out of debt score. Like, you know, if you don't get debt and you don't use credit, then you're going to have a low score because they have nothing to score you on. But if you use a lot of credit and you're, you know, a certain amount percentage in debt, the companies like you because they're going to get interest from you. So the credit scores are kind of wacky anyway, the way they determine this. So let's go back in time and let's see what happened to this company, Equifax. In August 2016, Equifax was warned by another company of vulnerability. They had these weaknesses to a data breach. Now, that was August of 2016. In March of 2017, so almost a year later, three quarters of a year later at least, the agency learns that hackers have broken into their computer system. So they didn't fix what they were warned about in 2016. And by 2017, there are hackers within their system and they're identified somehow. July of that same year, 2017, almost the end of July, July 29th, Equifax security team observes suspicious network traffic associated with its online web portal and blocks it. So they see where the data breach is. There's more data going in and out than there should be in a certain portal, and they block that. In August 2nd of 2017, Equifax hired a company called Mandiant. Mandiant is a cybersecurity firm, and they hired them to investigate the hack and find out what was exposed. And then in September 7th of 2017, the company finally announces to the public. So we're in July, August, September. So at least, well, March. March, April, May, June, July, August, September. So we're between 6 and 7 months from the time they first found out that someone had actually broken into their computer system. And we are a year farther than that, approximately, that they were warned of a data breach. So we're coming on to 2 years, at least a year and a half, closer to 2 years, if we're to believe their timeline. September 7th, they finally announce that criminals exposed as many as 143 million people to identity fraud. September 26th, 2017, Equifax announced that Richard Smith, who was currently the chairman and CEO, is no longer the chairman and CEO. And October 7th, Mandiant concluded its investigation, which showed that an additional 2.5 million U.S. consumers were potentially impacted, bringing the total exposed in the hack to 145.5 million. And you think it's over, but it's not. October 12, 2017, Equifax confirms that it was hacked again. And this time, there was a fake Flash installer that was installed. So what happens is people come on the website and they're told to see certain things. You have to have Flash installed on your machine, which is a program that allows you to see certain kinds of animation. And so people click on this Flash installer instead of taking them to Adobe and to downloading it from the company that made it. It takes it to the hacker's website and downloads software that it has potential viruses on it. So all these people who go to the Equifax website, because what Equifax did is they set up a website and a portal where you could go in, you could put your information in, and it would tell you if you were one of those 146 million people who could possibly be affected. And then if you were, then what they would do is they would offer you free credit monitoring. I think for 3 years was what they were saying. And if you wanted that, then you had to sign up for it. So somewhere in all of that mess, and then you can also still go on Equifax and you can also check your credit score, right? I mean, that's still their business and that's what people were doing. And so they would check their credit score on there. They would download this Flash installer application for whatever reason. And I'm not sure which page it was on and which part of the processes it was in, but people would install that and then they would have viruses on their computer. And then who knows what kind of information they could pull off. I mean, when there's virus on your computer, when you type in passwords to websites, when you go places, when you put in your bank account numbers or whatever, this rogue software can take that information and send it to someplace like Russia, where there are lots of hackers in Russia. By the way, smarttech.tv was knocked out for a while. I even did a couple podcasts on it by Russian hack. We found out they were Russian hackers later on because we paid a company to come in and help us clean up the website. And when they did, we found out that the hits were from the Eastern European area, and we think they were from Russia. So very exotic. I'll tell you what, that they think smart tech is important enough to hack from Russia. But we took care of it. We hired a company and it wasn't cheap, but they came in and cleaned out all the rogue code, put in some monitoring stuff for us, and our website is monitored. And I get an email a couple times a week from this company telling me whether the site is secure. I also get an immediate notice if they discover something. And I've had a couple times where people have broken in again somehow and gotten a hold of the company, and within a day we were clean and back on the web. So worth my money, because the amount of time it would have taken me to do that would have probably been forever. So this second data breach was reported on the site Ars Technica, and an independent security analyst purportedly went to Equifax and was directed to another site when prompted to install the Flash application. The security analyst named Randy Abrams accessed Equifax's website to report some false information on his credit report. And this is how they found that out, which is amazing to me that somebody's not monitoring. I mean, this would be the top level of their website where this is. And you would think that their web developers would be looking at that kind of stuff, the easier pages to get into. They would be looking at that all the time to make sure all the code on there was their code, but apparently they weren't. So what kind of information was stolen? Well, in September, that was a big, huge one. Criminals were able to gain access to names, social security numbers, birth dates, and addresses. And in many cases, even more personal data was exposed, including their driver's license and credit card numbers. Anyone impacted by that breach is at risk of identity theft and fraud, as any piece of this personal information I mentioned can be used or sold to criminals who can use it to, like, open credit cards, take out loans, make purchases in your name, or even drain your bank accounts. Now, I said that Equifax had a couple fixes. I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. I mean, you know, now they've been breached twice. And who likes credit score companies anyway? Because, you know, they're you know, it's like traffic cops, you know. I mean, I guess you need them, but, you know, they're never around when you're not around, it feels like. So there are a few suggestions we can give you, and I get these suggestions from Clark Howard. And Clark Howard is a money expert who's in the Atlanta area, along with Equifax, by the way. He's also in the Atlanta area. Here's what he suggests, okay? Number one, sign up for Credit Karma's free credit monitoring. Okay, so creditkarma.com has free credit monitoring, and what Credit Karma allows you to do is to look at your credit scores for free. You can get these periodically. And by going through Credit Karma, you can access all three of the sites at the same time, and you don't have to go in and open up different accounts or whatever. And they've got a good reputation. So I'll put the link to that and these two steps on our website, www.smarttech.tv. Number two, and I think this is the most important, freeze your credit with all three main credit bureaus. This is a good practice even if your personal info wasn't exposed by the data breach. What freezing your credit does is it doesn't allow you or anybody else to open up credit unless you unfreeze the credit scores. And some of the bureaus charge you to do this, but it's worth the money. If you freeze your credit, then what that means is they can't open up any new accounts. They can't take out any loans. They can't, any of that information that they have, they can't use. All they can do is if they had your credit card number, they could charge things on your credit card. But remember, credit cards and debit cards that have a credit logo, so MasterCard, Visa, debit card, they have to have the logo on it. Those debit cards are protected by most banks. Most banks will treat the debit card is the way they do the credit card. The law says that after the first $50, you are liable. But most companies waive that $50. So the bank that I'm a member of, I've had a couple times where there have been false charges on my debit card. And what they do is they freeze that credit. They issue me a new credit card or a new debit card and with a new number. And they monitor it. I've found out about both of these by a phone call from the bank. It's a credit union, actually. And they called me and said, hey, there's this weird charge coming from, you know, Afghanistan. Have you been to Afghanistan lately? It's like, no, I really haven't. I think the charge was actually from New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, is what they told me. I know I haven't been to New Brunswick in a long, long time. I have been there, but it was a long time ago. Then they could freeze that and then make sure that I have a new card, and they usually, you know, ship it out in a day. So the banks have a lot of interest in stopping these fraudulent charges. But if those are made on a credit card or a debit card, then the banks take care of that. If somebody opens a loan up in your name and they get a bunch of money, good luck trying to get the bank to believe that it wasn't you that opened that up. So you really want to freeze your credit. It is a pain in the neck. If you go to a department store and you want to buy a couch and you want to do it on store credit and they need to run a credit check to be able to do that, you will not be able to do that if you freeze your credit. So what you have to do is you have to let the credit bureau know, hey, I want to open up a new account. They unfreeze your credit so that can happen, and then you freeze it back up again. And like I said, it is a pain in the neck, but it will save you a lot of grief. Just go online and Google the stories of people who've had their identity stolen. Identity theft is what you want to look for. And you will be amazed at the morass of, especially if somebody steals your Social Security number. They steal that. They use that for something. Now two people or more are using the same Social Security number. Every time they do something fraudulent with that number, you're going to hear about it and you're going to get sued. And then you have to go back to these people and you have to explain, hey, it wasn't me, it was somebody else and blah, blah, blah. So don't fall for that. I'll tell you what, look on our website, smarttech.tv, smarttech.tv. And we have things on, we have shows and past shows on using password management, which I really suggest, on how to set up a password. In fact, our last episode, 1715, we talked about how some of the rules that we had for doing passwords in the past have evolved over time. And you'll probably want to listen to that and figure out how to use passcodes and passwords the best. But we also have older shows that talk about 1Password, password management, and you know, lists of all-time worst passwords, never use these passwords. Those help you because that sets up the barrier right where you live, right at your computer, right at your device. The thing that you can't count on is that these companies, even these big companies such as Equifax, have your best interest at heart and are controlling the outflow of information. So the best thing to do is to cut yourself off of as many of those as you can. and keep that valuable information to yourself. Remember, anything you put on the internet, anything, has the potential of being exposed. So you want to do that. I don't think you should be paranoid. I mean, I do online banking. I have home security that's online. I have other things where I depend on online services. But I'm careful that those things that I expose, I have ways to cut off quickly and they won't totally devastate me, or I have some kind of insurance, like with the bank. If somebody hacks into my bank account, my bank will catch it usually, and they'll take care of any charges or fees. So I feel good about that company. So shop around for your bank. Shop around for your credit cards if you're going to use them. Shop around for your debit cards if you're going to use them. Ask the questions when you enroll in these accounts on how you're protected. So to find out that and any other technology information you'd like to know, once again, go to our website, www.smarttech.tv. If you'd like to know when we're publishing Smart Tech, you can do a couple things. You can go to our website, click on iTunes or Google Play or any of the other podcasting hosts that are listed there. We're on several different podcasting networks. And you can add us to your podcasting app on your phone or your computer or other device. And our show will automatically be downloaded to your device every time we release a new episode. And that is free, by the way. And you can see those on the front page of our website. It would also be nice if you gave us a comment about what you're hearing, or engage with us on Facebook. We have a pretty active Facebook community, and you can see the Facebook links on our website, smarttech.tv. And you can either like an episode or you can subscribe to our page. You can like the episode, look in the episode's notes, and there's a Facebook tag there. Or you can go over to the right side of our website. There's a big Facebook button. Click on that, and you can like our page. And it'll just come up in your feed when we have new episodes. And we don't spam and do all that kind of stuff. We respect your privacy. So go to our website one more time. It is, you should be able to say this by memory, www.smarttech.tv. And until next time, this is your credit paranoid host, Chuck Minear, hoping that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.